From Moscow with love, this is...
For God's sake, take off that stupid gas mask.
No way! The air is poisoned, and it stinks of rotten eggs!
No, it doesn't anymore.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on the radio... On radio what?
Sputnik!
Oh. Like a breath of fresh air, we're online, on digital, AM, FM, and shortwave via WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. So, what's the station called now?
Sputnik. We knew it as Radio Moscow, then as the Voice of Russia.
Radio VR.
And now it has changed its name to Radio Sputnik. Mm. But, quoting Shakespeare... A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Shakespeare!
Yes, quite recently I was lucky to attend a superb production of Midsummer Night's Dream by the Globe Theatre Company, who were touring Russia. I must tell you, this is real Shakespeare theatre, the way it should be, witty, talented, with perfect acting and beautiful decorations and costumes. The actors did their best, and you could see they enjoyed every minute of it. They sang and played musical instruments, danced and joked. To tell the truth, I hadn't been to the theater for many years. I may be wrong, but most of the so-called contemporary productions are bad taste, primitive and vulgar, or probably they're just too sophisticated for my feeble brain. Anyway, I lost interest in the theater a long time ago. And here was the Globe Company doing something that I've always enjoyed. Oh. They reminded me of the good old days when my father was leading actor at the Rustaveli Theater in Tbilisi, Georgia, and starred in Robert Sturwa's wonderful productions of King Lear and Richard III. I felt so happy that on the way home, I felt like singing and jumping and dancing, and I kept repeating, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever."
Sputnik! No, it's what's his name?
His name is John Keats,
right.
And a very apt phrase it is.
Mm-hmm.
That wonderful theater night was on the eve of my brief school vacation, and I decided to fly to London to see what my son Johnny was up to.
You went to London?
Yes. And it was swarming with Italians this time.
Ah.
And you should hear them talk. They never close their mouth, and they're so loud that you can't help hearing them.
Yeah, it's just like the Georgians. I mean, you must have felt right at home with them.
Oh, yes, but I'm only half Georgian. So once I was riding a bus through London, sitting quietly and enjoying the sights, when a family of Italians entered and sat right in front of me. And that was the end of my happy meditation. They went blah, 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 blah at the top of their voices nonstop. At one point, I felt like hitting them on the head. It took me a great deal of effort not to yell, "Shut up!"
Hitting them on the head. Now, this is coming from a Christian Buddhist yogi.
Right.
This is charming. I mean, I see you enjoyed your trip.
You know, I have very confused impressions this time. To begin with, my flight to London was delayed for 26 hours.
26 hours? Unbelievable. What carrier did you fly?
British Airways. Apparently, there was a major glitch, and the plane didn't arrive from London, but they sent their letters of apology to the passengers when it was already too late.
Yes.
People had come to Domodedovo Airport and were waiting for the registration and boarding to start. I had registered online. So I took a taxi to the airport, and then I took the same taxi back home.
Mm-hmm.
What surprised me most was that nobody explained anything, just said we're sorry, and that's it.
Yeah.
The next morning, I wake up, I read my horoscope for the day, and it says, "Don't go anywhere today. There's sure to be a glitch." I start laughing. "Ha, ha, ha, folks. You're too late. We had a glitch yesterday." And I begin checking the situation at Heathrow Airport, and what do I see?
I don't know. What?
I see that the flight is delayed for another 2 hours.
Okay.
Now you will know why I trust horoscopes.
Right. Why was there another delay?
No clue. No one explained anything.
Typical cattle air. Was your flight home any better?
Well, it was perfect. Everything was top-notch. But when we arrived, we spent more than an hour at the passport control, standing in a terrible crowd. As you know, people in Russia never queue up.
Oh, yeah.
They just push and elbow their way through the crowd and always try to be the first in line. Mm-hmm. The Brits who were standing next to me kept wondering where all those people were coming from and how they managed to squeeze in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the old Soviet times, and I promised myself that never again would I fly from Domodedovo. From now on, only Aeroflot and only Sheremetyevo International Airport.
Yeah, I like Sheremetyevo. They've become a lot better.
Sure.
And Aeroflot is very good.
Absolutely.
So, were you traveling on Sunday by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, well then, what do you expect? I mean, it was the last day of the school vacation. People must have been coming home from all over the world. So it was only natural that the airport was crowded, overcrowded.
Well, perhaps you're right. There's something to what you're saying. Okay, I'll try my luck with British Airways once again in December.
So how's Johnny?
Johnny is true to himself.
Mm-hmm.
His lordship goes to college and spends the rest of the time at home in bed, writing, watching something, and exchanging messages with his friends in Moscow. Oh, yes, and on Sundays he attends a club of professional table tennis players where he plays tennis for several hours.
Ew.
I tried to drag him to the National Gallery and to Tate Britain, but my attempt was ostracized and rejected.
Natasha, why would a 17-year-old want to go there with his visiting mother?
Exactly. Therefore, I didn't insist. I enjoyed my solitude. I attended a fantastic exhibition of late William Turner and was so impressed that from the exhibition, I went straight to explore the rest of his works in Tate Britain. And the next day, I spent 2 hours at the National Gallery and came out quite dizzy from all that splendor. The rest of the time, I continued exploring the city that I loved so much.
And the weather, how was it?
It was pouring the day I arrived. And it was pouring on my last night in London when I stole an umbrella from the Primark store in Oxford Street.
You're kidding. You stole an umbrella from the cheapest store in London? You're kidding.
I'm not.
Turner, the National Gallery, and then she goes and steals an umbrella. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, this woman teaches kids. This woman is someone's mother.
Let me explain. I didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. I hate Oxford Street. It's one of the few places I hate in London. But I got on the wrong bus, and it brought me to Oxford Circus. I was walking down the street looking for another bus to take me home. It was Saturday night. There were crowds of people in Oxford Street, and suddenly it started raining. And I noticed that in London, it either drizzles or it pours. And this time it started pouring.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old expression, it rains cats and dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were cats, there were dogs, and there was all the water in the world. Naturally, I had no umbrella. I never carry umbrellas with me. And I was drenched to the bone immediately. There was no bus in sight, and I popped into the department store next to the bus stop to hide from the rain. And it happened to be the Primark, the cheapest and the messiest store in the world. But next to the entrance, I spotted a stand with umbrellas. So I grabbed the smallest one, and I put it on my wrist. And the next moment, I forgot all about it. There were so many people. Most of them spoke Italian in loud, shrieky voices. I felt I needed some air. I left the store, got up on the bus, and 5 minutes later, discovered the umbrella still hanging down from my wrist.
Right, yeah.
I was very embarrassed, honest. But I had absolutely no desire to go back, so I allowed the pangs of remorse, telling myself it was a compensation for the 26 hours I had to wait for my flight.
Yeah, right. How much was the umbrella?
£4.
Some compensation. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of money, did this trip cost you any more than your previous trips? This is taking into account the ruble's nosedive.
No, because I booked everything well in advance.
Okay, well, some Muscovites are panicking. You probably noticed that. With the ruble plunging to record lows and the euro and dollar rising all the time, the comrades here are wondering what to do. Some are buying euros, some are purchasing dollars, and some, like me, don't care much, because I know how it's all going to turn out in the end. I mean, I'm thinking of spending every single rusty ruble in my possession, the sooner the better. Let's see, I'm going to buy the ridiculously overpriced iPhone 6,
and do a full redecoration of my country house or the dacha. I'll add a menagerie.
And a crocodile there.
A swimming pool. I'll build a guest house for all the models, for all the model friends that come to visit me. Uh-huh. I'll set up a couple of fountains.
Exactly.
And a transmitter site. Very important. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing, Nat, in light of the catastrophic devaluation of the national currency?
Nothing. Oh. We have no extra money, no bank accounts, thank God, so we have nothing to worry about.
Right.
As my husband says, when was it easy to live in this country? And when I ask him what we should do in the present situation, he calmly replies, we should work. That's all there is to it. By the way, I've never seen him lose his head or get panicky, mm-hmm. and he hates discussing politics.
Well, one area that has really hit hard is the so-called Russian show business industry. Industry? Did I say industry? Ha! Idiocy is probably the correct way to describe it. You see, the viewers, that's you and I, Natasha, refuse to purchase expensive tickets to shows and concerts, while the performers, artists, groups, etc., etc., refuse to lower their price tags. The current economic crisis has affected practically all spheres, including show business. You see, dear listeners around the world, unlike the rest of the world, performers in Russia mostly make money by live shows rather than album and single sales. According to a report published by the Komsomolskaya Pravda newspaper, the current economic mess has affected every single performer. Concerts by the big names here are being canceled almost every day. Even the king of pop and glitz, Alla Pugacheva's ex-husband Filipp Kirkorov, is feeling the hard times. No one is willing to pay 10 to 12,000 rubles, that's around $250, for his overproduced lip-sync shows. Drats! Now, Natasha mentioned the theater a bit earlier. Well, that too has been affected. You see, one case in point is the famous and usually sold-out Moscow Satire Theater, which had to cancel several shows due to low ticket sales. Concert promoters are saying that people have stopped attending concerts and live shows. The entertainment market has shrunk about 35%. Another reason Russia's pop stars may soon have to start selling their Maseratis and Zondas is that an entire market has literally slammed its doors in their faces. I mean, Ukraine, for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons.
Look, pure economics, supply and demand. In this case, it doesn't work. Way too many performers and too few people who want to part with their rubles. Also, I hear the writers some of these pop stars demand not only for themselves, but for members of their families and posse. Astronomical. That, too, has a direct effect on the price of tickets. Another area that has been affected by the current economic crisis is the event and promotion business. Christmas and New Year's parties were traditionally the biggest money makers for the local stars. I know this for a fact, as I would always have some work hosting shows for large companies and offices around the end of the year with big stars. Not anymore. Local popular entertainers are saying niet to lowering prices for their shows and paying dearly. On the other hand, handfuls of 80s bands have lowered price tags for their shows and are getting booked all the time. In other words, want to survive in this age of the crashing ruble? Go crazy and cut prices! Also, agree to shows outside of big markets like Moscow and St. Pete, and go to remote towns and villages for less cash. Something the big-headed, egocentric Russian pop stars of today will most likely find very hard to do. That was the indisputable king of Russian pop, Filipp Kirkorov, who, like many performers around here, is having a hard time due to the current economic crisis. We'll talk some more about what's going on in Moscow after we take a short break. This is, what is it? Radio Sputnik! This is Radio Sputnik. Wow, it feels good saying that. This is Radio Sputnik. We were talking about how the diving ruble is affecting pop stars and causing havoc, basically. Natasha, you mentioned your son a few minutes ago, and it got me wondering whether he cares or not about the current state of affairs in Russia. Does he?
No. He's very infantile yet, and so far lives in an ivory tower of his own. He doesn't want to understand what is happening here, that it's getting more and more difficult to earn money, that his father is not an oligarch or a millionaire. Yeah, you know, he's one of those kids who has said, "Dad, I want the moon from the sky. Can you get it to me? Mom is so nasty, she doesn't want to give me the moon." Luckily, Johnny is starting to work this coming week, so I do hope that he will soon come to his senses.
Well, I ask because recently, while at a cafe, I observed a young couple. They were sitting not far from me, so I could clearly make out what they were saying. Also, it's because the concept of keeping one's voice down at a public place such as this was unknown to them. They were in their mid to late 20s, very well dressed. She had very good makeup. He had a clean-cut look. On the outside, they could have been of any nationality in any country. What didn't fit into this picture was the manner with which they spoke. They sounded like aliens from another world. It occurred to me they are a completely different breed. I have no idea what's happening in their brains. I used to. Not only do they lack any knowledge of their country's history, they don't care about it. Their operating systems are based on consumerism, present-day survival, and they are ready to embrace any so-called half-truth they are handed without giving much of a thought about it.
Well, we've spoken about it time and again, and though I hate to sound like an old hag accusing the younger generation of being worse than ours, I have to admit, by and large, they're very primitive with very primitive demands.
And again, have you noticed the way they talk? As someone who's done a lot of television in the past and someone who does a lot of voiceover jobs, I'm talking about myself here, I can't but notice how other people talk, how they enunciate or modulate their words and sentences, especially girls. And then some young men, yes. Let me give you an example of that couple at a cafe that I mentioned a few moments ago. This is how it would sound if spoken in English. Okay, so the girl looks at her boyfriend and says, "Why are you texting Messenger all the time? Are you texting Messenger to your ex?" The guy replies, "Drop dead, I tell you, don't you get it? You deaf or something? I text who I want to. Go to hell. Drink your espresso." He says, "Espresso." And shut up! And it just goes on and on and on. Now, I saw or heard so much of this kind of talk on a local Russian reality TV show that's been on for 10 years now. I tuned in by accident the other night and was shocked not only by the way they talked, but the way they looked. That one chick looked like a potato bag on Louboutin shoes. She looked ridiculous. But did she know about it? No. Did anyone tell her about it? No. They consider it the norm. But that's beside the point. I want to know where this is coming from. I mean, Natasha, we didn't talk like this in the 80s.
We didn't. We worked at the radio.
We didn't talk like this in the 90s. Where are these intonations coming from?
They come from utter lack of culture. They come from never reading books. They come from watching cheap, bad-taste movies and TV shows meant for idiots.
I'll tell you one thing. The aftertaste from watching that TV reality show and hearing the two idiots at the cafe made me believe in a parallel universe where strange beings from another dimension will soon take over the world.
This is Radio Sputnik, telling the untold.
And this is from Moscow with Love, on the verge of being fired.
Apart from stupid jokes and eavesdropping on young people's conversations in cafes, what else did you do during the recent holidays?
The holidays. Not much, actually. Spent two nights at a nice vacation hotel about an hour east of Moscow. Did some cooking for my friends. Yes, a small dinner party. Went to the movies, you know, with all the money I saved by downloading torrents over the past year. I could afford two movies.
Great.
One was The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. Brilliant movie. The other was the hyped-up Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. What a waste of 3 hours of my life. It was boring in all dimensions. I also went to the country to get some fresh air and listen to some shortwave radio, as you can see in a video on our Facebook fan site. Something else there you might be interested in is a photo reportage of a late-night visit to the Ostankino TV Tower in Moscow's Northern District, in what can be compared to Hollywood's Television City.
Wait a minute. Oh. Haven't you been there before?
Yeah, I have, but this is the first time I went up there during dark hours, and the view was breathtaking. The city actually looks very nice from up there. If you're planning a trip to Moscow... Obviously, you're not. Make sure to book a tour of the tower. Now, at 537 meters high, the Moscow Television Tower is the largest structure in Europe and second only in the world to the 553-meter-high CN Tower in Toronto, Canada. The Ostankino Tower was completed on November 5th, 1967, on the 50th anniversary of the Russian Revolution. It's considered one of the most symbolic buildings in Russia and the world also due to its reinforced concrete construction, unique at the time it was built. For most tourists to Moscow, it ranks in second place after the Kremlin and has attracted more than 200,000 visitors annually. The construction of the 55,000-ton giant was directed by architect Nikolai Nikitin. Using high-tension steel cables inside the tower, Nikitin succeeded in building an extremely thin and tall tower that needed only comparatively small foundations. It is said that he came up with the decision overnight. The inspiration was a lily flower turned upside down. In other words, the foundation isn't very deep, but immensely heavy, much like a chess piece. Ingenious, to say the least.
Check out Vasily's photos at our Facebook fan site.
Yes, thank you. And not only that, there's news, gossip, and you out there, you can leave us a message, a suggestion, or perhaps suggest a topic for a future show. The From Moscow with Love Facebook fan site at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove. Stay informed, browse the photo section, and please like us if you like us.
Just like Tim Hadeev did. Thanks, Tim.
Here's a wonderful letter from Jim Stenzel. I hope I pronounced your name right, who writes, "Dear Vasily and Natalia, I would like to express my thanks to both of you for your hosting of From Moscow with Love. I'm a new listener from Brisbane, Australia, and have come to look forward to listening to your show online every week. The best things that I like about the program is that it is informative and clean. The personal anecdotes from the show are witty and humorous. I've learned a lot about Russia, a truly great country. You are both great representatives of Russia and should feel rightly proud of yourselves. Well done. Kind regards, Jim Stenzel."
Thank you, Jim, for the kind words, for listening, and for finding the time to sit down and write us a letter. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, it's good to hear that people are actually tuning into this show, a show about nothing. It's a thrill. You know, it's a challenge to produce a show for listeners around the world. And letters like the one you sent us, Jim, make it all worthwhile. So there.
Did Jim say he listens online?
Yes. And by the way, you too can find all our previous shows online by going to our brand new website. It's www.sputniknews.com/radio. Another way of listening is by good old shortwave via WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida, the United States. So the program currently, and this is the new frequency season, is on the air at 0400 to 0430 UTC Tuesday on 9955 kilohertz to the Caribbean, Central, and South America. And from 1000 hours to 1030 UTC Wednesday on 5850 kilohertz to North America. In any case, let us know if you hear us on shortwave. You know, how's reception? And where are you listening at? What's your QTH? As a shortwave listener and DXer, I'm curious what kind of radio you are using. Is it a portable? What's your antenna like? Is it indoor, outdoor? Let me know, please.
Our email is moscowwithlove@gmail.com.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of From Moscow with Love. Thank you very much for listening and for supporting this show.
Hope to see you again next time. Till then, take care.
Stay safe and
do svidaniya.